Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
What has Marcus meant to this franchise, and how difficult it was the decision?
Yeah, I mean, really hard. I said this at the start of the summer. I thought that we needed to balance our roster and make sure that we looked at the best ways to do that. And that meant that we were going to likely lose a really, really, really good player. You know, as far as Marcus, you know, as I told him, you know, when he got here, we were 25-57 the year before. And, you know, the greatest legacy that you can leave, right, is to be someplace and it's better off because you were there. You know, I think that everybody here feels that way. I think that he will always be appreciated and thought of so fondly here for any number of reasons. Obviously, everybody loved the way that he plays and how hard he plays, but also his work in the community. And we're all really grateful to have had Marcus in our life for as long as we've had, and, you know, are sad to see him go, but know that he's going to have a huge impact on that really good Memphis team. So very difficult conversations, really hard to do. He'll always have Boston for sure, right? I mean, I think that Boston really appreciates him, and certainly I do, and he knows we'll do anything for him, but it was hard.
All right, we back, boys. It's a brand new episode of the Causeway Street Podcast, all-season edition of the Causeway Street Podcast. I am Joseph Pavone, Jamal Pavone's here, Sean Dutra's here, and we're just going to talk about the last 6 weeks, I guess. I mean, we got Marcus Smart, no longer a member of the Boston Celtics. I know Sean is still pretty broken up about that. I'll give him the floor later. Kristaps Porzingis the newest member of the Boston Celtics. I know there's a couple of players that came after him, but this is a brand new era, and I'm going to still call him the newest member of the Celtics team because it's obviously significant. You know, Celtics bringing in someone like Porzingis, we'll tell you all about that. I know you've heard about it, but we got our takes on it, damn it, and plenty more as well, including who the Celtics will be inviting this week for a workout. Two free agents that the Celtics have a chance to sign, as there are still two roster spots left. I don't know if they'll sign both of these guys, but it's a good chance they'll sign one of them. And we'll take our trip around the NBA with Joel's, in case you missed it, on this brand new episode of the Causeway Street Podcast. And with that being said, Joel, fresh off paternity leave, welcome back. Welcome back, bro.
Thanks, bro.
How's my niece doing? What's going on? What's the word? What's the latest?
Yo, she's growing. She's growing. No, man, she's about to go to school in a couple of weeks, bro. What are you talking about? She's walking and everything. Nah, man, but she's pretty damn close.
I miss so much. I'm a bad uncle, damn it. She's enrolled already?
She's about to go to first grade, yo. She's going to skip preschool, kindergarten, and all that. Just go straight to grade one.
No shit. Congratulations.
A lot can happen in 6 weeks.
We got a genius going.
Nah, yo, man, she's doing great. She's lifting her head already, you know, scoping the scene. She'll be fucking crawling real soon. She's doing good, getting big. And I can't complain. It's all blessings over here.
Well, now I'm a little disappointed that she's not going to the first grade. So all this is cool, but, you know.
She's right on schedule.
Yeah. All right.
Bye. You lied, man.
I know. I'm sorry, man. I was just, you know, I thought I'd make it interesting. Jeez. But like they say, you got to take advantage of the moment. I can't just be like, oh, yeah, I can't wait for her to go to school. I'm like, nah, man, I'm good where she's at right now in terms of week 7.
You got a good 5 years, bro. Yeah.
And I've been told by many, 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 many parents, it goes by quick. So I'm in no rush.
So how many times you use that line? I can just tell it's been recycled so many times.
You got no, man. I don't,
Mister,
I don't
Mister,
feel
like Mr. Father of a 5-year-old over here.
Yeah, does it go by quick? I don't know. Yeah, when people force like memories down your throat and you're like, oh, this was 3 years ago. I'm like, all right. Yeah, that seems like it was a little less than 3 years ago, but Jordan's fucking 5, so actually makes a lot of sense, you know?
So every day's the same? Gotcha, Sean.
So yeah. Everything is just dandy, right?
Yeah.
No, I mean yeah, I was, you know, looking at her.
Like, and then one day you drop him off at kindergarten, and you're like, whoa, it's been 5 years.
Yeah, no, I was looking at her like, when she was just born, pics, and up to like now, I'm like, yo, she's changed a lot in, like, in, you know, 7 weeks or so. Yeah,
great. Yeah. Yeah, babies, you know the thing about babies? They always are growing. That's the thing about babies.
That's know? True. Yeah, that sounds about right. Yeah.
Unless you got a Benjamin Button baby, and I ain't gonna, you know.
I was expecting that babies are babies because they're babies.
Because they're babies. That is also true.
If you said that, you weren't going to be able to get the last line out. I would be like, all right, what'd that be?
All right, moving on.
Well, it looks like Sean's in good spirits. I mean, what's it been? What did I say, 6 weeks? Yeah, it's been about six weeks since Marcus Smart was traded to the Memphis Grizzlies. Part of a three-team deal where the Suns landed Kristaps Porzingis. Now, the initial report that came out that night was, of course, that the framework initially included the Los Angeles Clippers, right? Clippers wanted a physical from Malcolm Brogdon, and they didn't have enough time. Celtics pivot to the Memphis Grizzlies, and as you guys know, the rest is history. Marcus Smart, now a member of the Memphis Grizzlies. He's already rocking the practice tee. He's already putting himself out there on social media. Meanwhile, Celtics fans find out that Kristaps Porzingis will be entering a program that'll keep him sidelined for 4 to 6 weeks with foot problems. Fellas, how concerned are we? I mean, he's not going to be able to play in this FIBA tournament. I think a lot of Celtics fans were kind of low-key hoping that was the case. But a foot injury before he can even put on a Celtics uniform officially? Does this concern you guys? What do you guys think?
First off, there's many that have said since the trade, well, you know, it's 50-50 when it comes to I'm still going to call him Porzingis because that's what we've been calling him over the last, you know, his whole career, pretty much.
It's not we. This is Sean, okay? Maybe you have. I don't say that shit, but maybe you do.
So, you know, Porzingis.
Yeah. Kristaps? All right, we'll go with Kristaps. Kristaps here has missed quite a few games in his career, right? And
can I just say real quick, though? Yeah. Sean, you always said his name like that, but I can't remember. Well, maybe you did mention it back in, like, 2015 or 16, something like that. But outside of that, I can't remember you even mentioning the idea of this guy wearing a Celtics uniform. But then again, around that time when he was a rookie, or the first couple of years, we were saying almost every single popular name out there, you know, deserves to put a Celtics uniform on, right? So maybe he doesn't count.
Pretty sure there was a time when there was like trade rumors, and it was like, I think Porzingis was like the bottom, the floor of like, hey, we got like these four things, and like, or you're gonna try to get Porzingis, right, and see what happens. So it was definitely thrown around, and we shat on Porzingis literally right before the draft, saying how every decision that he's made in his professional career has gone wrong.
Talk about that, timing, huh?
Yeah, that was literally like 4 days before this fucking trade happened. Then we just decided not to podcast ever again.
well, to our credit, well, at least when it comes to me, you know, my daughter was born literally a couple of days after that. I didn't have time to really like process it.
Oh yeah, great excuse, you know.
Yeah. Oh, you didn't see this one coming, Sean? I saw this coming 6 weeks ago. Yeah.
So no, but going back to what I was saying, like for those that say like, well, you know, Smart has missed, you know, quite a few games over his like the last like few years as well. And it's like, yeah, but nobody was paying, or the Celtics weren't paying Smart $36 million and giving an extension. So we're talking now for the next potential three seasons here in Boston, $90 million, right? Let's get that out of the way, right? And no one asked Smart to be. No one said that Smart is an all-star, right? No one's saying that Smart is part of this big three when it comes to the Celtics going forward here. So with that being said, and now with this injury, this new injury, at first when there was like rumors that he wasn't going to play, or he was just like practicing with his national team, and even they were like, nah, it's all bullshit. Like, he's not injured. Like, don't worry about it. And then when the Celtics like reported, then I almost was just like, did the Celtics just say, all right, man, you're just not going to play. It's cool. Don't play in the FIBA, you know, FIBA World Cup. We've been through this already before. Obviously, you know, Gallinari wasn't, again, not getting paid $36 million. But point being, everyone's calling the Celtics, or a lot of people calling the Celtics now, a new big three, right? I don't like it, but it is what it is. So now fast forward to this injury. I don't know. Like, I'm not as shocked, because it's when the trade happened, it's like, all right, it's 50-50. Like, it's going to look like Brad is a genius if he has the best season of his career and he plays a certain amount of games that he normally doesn't play. But now that he's off to this 4 to 6 weeks, I don't know. I'm just like, all right, let's see if he's ready by training camp at least.
Nah, man. I think this whole thing is bullshit. I think Brad was so hard to get Porzingis on this team, he fucking panicked and didn't give a fuck. And gave away a guy that you're going to miss this year. Marcus Smart is an invaluable piece of this team. You don't get to the amount of Eastern Conference finals and finals that you've got to in the past 4 years without Marcus Smart being on this team. You just fucking don't. You don't. It's a fact. And how bad of a negotiator, and I love Brad Stevens, but this is a horrible fucking trade. How bad of a negotiator do you have to be to get called out that the piece that you're trying to send needs to get a physical? Did we get a fucking physical on Porzingis? Like, we got this motherfucker in, injury prone ass dude.
There was a deadline, Sean. There was a deadline.
Right, so then, the Clippers, of all fucking teams, the Clippers are like...
Yo, fuck LA, by the way. Fuck the Clippers, but go ahead.
We like this deal, we like Brogdon, but can we just get a physical? And like, we can't. They're like, well, then we don't want him. Instead, Boston's sitting there like, oh, Porzingis played a career-high 52 fucking games last year, whatever the fuck it was. And then immediately injured, and boom. Guess what? You gave away the heart and soul of your team. You're going to feel it this year. You're basically, and I'm a gambler as well, but you are gambling
you <don't say.
laughs> a lot. You are giving away a sure thing, and you know what you're going to get from Marcus Smart every single day. You know he's never going to lose you a playoff series. He's always going to be there when it actually matters. He's defensively one of the best, if not the best defensive guard in the league. And you get a guy in Porzingis, and you keep a guy like Brogdon, who I am nearly certain that you're going to see Porzingis and Brogdon in the same game less than 50% of the time in the regular season. They're injury-prone, just high-ceiling, wicked low-floor players, and I just don't know if that's what you need around Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum right now.
So, I mean, yeah, I agree with what you're saying. I see what you're saying. But, like, you know, Memphis came out of nowhere. It was just like, oh, we hear you want to fucking – you need a third team to make this Porzingis trade come through. Hey, guess what? We'll be the third team, but we don't want Brogdon because apparently he's damaged goods. We want fucking Marcus Smart.
Then you say, no, we don't want you to be a third team. Like, get the fuck out of here.
That was a backup plan, though. You know, that was something that was discussed. I mean, for the Memphis Grizzlies to come in the way they did, I mean, that's not something you just put together in the final hour. And again, we have to remember that the reason why we're saying the final hour, this isn't a trade deadline we're talking about, right? We're talking about the deadline for Porzingis is, almost said that fucking thing the way you guys said it.
Zingies!
They're waiting for the deadline for his option, because the last thing they wanted to do is opt out of this current deal because they didn't pay him more money. So
wait, I want you, when you get in front of Brad Stevens for the first time, I want you to ask him just ask bluntly, did you get a physical before you traded for Porzingis, or did you wait to give the physical until you signed the extension? Because I just don't get how this deal, even if it was going to be like, you know, it sort of popped up, it leaked on the at 5 p.m., right? So who knows what happened before that, right? Like, did they have Porzingis in? Did they go through all the physical? Or did they just feel confident in what happened? And then, I don't know, man. Like, I just feel like if L.A. is smart enough to ask for a physical for Brogdon and we didn't ask for a physical for Porzingis and now Porzingis is hurt, like, that seems like the biggest okie doke you could take, man. Like, you just got work over. You brought on damaged goods. You couldn't give away your damaged goods for it, so instead you gave away the former defensive player of the year because you're stuck in a point where, well, we sort of need Porzingis now because we've already tried to make a trade. How bad is this going to look if we can't make this trade? And then no one's going to want these pieces that we have in this, like.
And if you're Brogdon, how are you feeling if you're fucking Malcolm Brogdon right now? Which even his injury is kind of up in the air. Like, does he need surgery or is he holding off on surgery if he's going to get traded?
If you're Brogdon, you're waiting till the season starts and then you're just going to get your surgery and sit out for fucking 6 to 8 weeks and be good by the trade deadline and then be like, hey, I'm ready to come back. Like,
he's doing the Scottie Pippen thing. Like, I got injured on company time, so I'm going to.
Yeah, he's doing his own fucking thing. Yep. I mean, I would.
So, I don't know. As it stands right now, in my opinion, whatever, pending on any signings or any more trade between now and training camp, I don't think the Celtics have gotten better than they were the day they got knocked out by the Heat. I don't know how you feel about that, if you feel the same way.
Sure. I feel like, and don't sleep on the Grant Williams loss too.
You mean just for second round draft picks? You didn't like
that? I'm just saying you're asking if they got better or worse.
No, I don't think they got better at all.
That's what I mean. Yeah, okay. But like you gotta throw Grant Williams is gone.
Yeah, essentially you got rid of Smart and Grant for Porzingis, right? That's what it looks like right now on paper.
I'll put it this way. I want to like Porzingis. I want to so bad.
I thought you was a Porzingis guy.
I've been a Porzingis guy, but never once would I have traded Marcus Smart for Porzingis. I never would have done that trade ever in my life. So we're here now. So that's just where we're at. And I think, are they better? I think that the way I'll answer this question is Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown will be better next year. So are we better? I think that by the end of the year, we'll be a better team because there's going to be a lot of, I think, you know, there's just going to be a lot of moving pieces. But, there's glaring issues when you're talking about front court depth. Our top three front court people are Porzingis, who can't stay healthy, Robert Williams, who can't stay healthy, and Al Horford, who's 76, 77 years old, holding down the front court. So we're relying on those three.
That's not a fair assessment, man. He's 37.
Those are the three that we're relying on to be our front court depth. I just don't know how that is. And you lose a point guard. And, like, I love Jordan Walsh as a draft pick. I think he's going to be contributing. But a lot is riding on the Derek Whites. Like, a lot is riding on Derek White this year. obviously Tatum and Brown hopefully get better. They improve. If that happens, it almost doesn't matter, but you just, there's so, I feel like you introduce way more question marks. It's sort of more of a, we knew what we had, we knew what we could get to, and we knew if we moved one piece around, we could probably get over that hump. And instead, they tore it down, brought some things in, and historically, since Celtics have been doing that over the past 10 years, it really hasn't worked. So, we'll see.
Yeah, I think on paper they're better. I mean, I really do, but again, we have to wait and see how this all plays out. I mean, obviously the injury concerns from Porzingis is legitimate. Obviously the point guard duties, I mean, how Derek White responds to that. But I, like you guys said, I mean, Tatum and Brown, I think they have another step in them, right? They can,
right.
I think they get better. You know, Jaylen Brown, got the bag, and I think he's gonna do his best to back that up. I love the fact that Derek, well, among a few things, but, for the most part, I loved how, you know, the first few minutes into his press conference of, before signing that contract, he's talking about stepping things up on the defensive end of the floor. And I'm like, that's great. I would love to see that. I think that's a big part of his game. I also like to see a basketball in his hands at all times so he can work on his handles. But, I mean, I'll take the defense for now. But I just think you also have to remember the kind of problems that the Miami Heat presented for the Celtics, right? Whether it was being late in defending the paint, making those stops, or making things difficult, rather, on the offensive end, right? Having a guy who can stretch the floor, but also can grab your rebounds, create second chance opportunities, 20 plus point score, a guy who's coming off one of his better years of his career in Porzingis. So I get it. I get why, you know, Brad Stevens is such a Porzingis guy. He always has been, even when he was a head coach.
He was.
Because of the problems that Porzingis presents to opposing teams. But we got to see how this whole thing plays out. I mean, how does it all come together? You know, does this strengthen them mentally, right? I think that was another big part of what went wrong against the Miami Heat, especially when the Celtics found themselves down 3-0. You know, that, a lot of that had to do with just mental toughness and them trying to figure that out. Now, you take a lot of that toughness out of the lineup when you trade someone like Marcus Smart, right? I mean, Grant Williams also gave a little bit of that off the bench. I think you can make up for that. However, how this team transformed into more of the team that we saw in 2022, I think Porzingis helped you with that. He's got to be healthy, of course, but also these guys have to step up. I mean, it's a mental thing here, and that starts in entertainment, Brown. I mean, when I said at the top that this is the final chapter, in my opinion, or at least this is a new chapter with Porzingis in the mix, I don't think this is a long chapter. I really don't. And I might be in a minority here, but I just don't see, you know, Jaylen finishing out that contract. You know, after Tatum gets his max deal next year, or maybe a couple of years down the road. I mean, put it this way. I'm looking at this thing as like a 3-year window for these guys to get a championship. And then from that point, we'll see what happens. But I do think it is that tight of a window. I mean, no team has even done this whole having two supermax guys on the same roster as the Celtics are about to attempt. Re-signing Porzingis is big as well. I think he took a bit of a pay cut, if you ask me, with that two-year, $60 million deal. And that's good, right? But also, I mean, what he does on the floor means a lot. I mean, being that third guy and mastering that, and my hopes would be being the best third option in the NBA. And I think he does have a chance to do that. But it starts and ends with the leaders, right? It starts and ends with the with Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown. And, you know, that third guy who's always been, you know, the unofficial captain, quote-unquote, and Marcus Smart is not there anymore. So you wonder how they respond.
Yeah, and one thing I want to add to that is that's probably what a lot of what went into that decision to pull the trigger on that deal was, you know what, I'm pulling off this Band-Aid, and you know that it's not going to just be Smart taking accountability for when Jason and Jaylen need to step up, or when, you know, the vocal guy in the locker room now it's up to them to essentially, like, you know, rally up the troops, so to speak, and not just, you know, I'm not going to say like pass the buck, but not just like, all right, you know, Smart has no problem saying what he's got to say, right? But now he's not in the locker room anymore. So it can't be, well, it's on Smart or it's on whoever. No, it's them two. That's what I think where Brad is at. Like it's for them to take that next step or final step, however you want to look at it. To finally get over that hump and not just make it back to the finals, but actually win the damn thing.
Yeah, I mean, if I think if you, if the Sway, like what you said real quick about Porzingis being the best third option in the league, easily the best third option in the league. But will he play? Like, that's the thing. Like, yo, like, that's what I keep coming back to. Like,
is it gonna be a situation?
So this whole thing is about his injury. So if he's healthy, you're fine with the deal.
So it's not just his injury right now, Sway. It's his injury.
No. I mean in general. Like you're afraid he's not gonna last. June he's gonna be in street clothes.
Exactly. Yes. Can
long season.
Like but seriously, for a guy like Porzingis, if something happens in January, you ain't seen that motherfucker till October, bro. That's kind of guy.
Hey, Sean, you're preaching to the choir, man. I don't even want to see this guy playing 50 games. I'm not exaggerating. I do not want him to play 50 games.
But that's another question that I'm asking in this situation. Is it going to be a load management thing like you did with Al? Is it going to be a load management thing like when you do with Rob? And now with Porzingis. So your three main guys in the front court, like how are you going to load manage those three dudes at the same time?
You can't load manage. Robert, okay. Al Horford has earned load management.
You're about to say what I was just about to say. Like, no, this Rob thing, this ends now. Like, this ends this year. and you know, the highlights of him
this shit ends
some
now.
Gym in some high school gym in New Orleans or whatever, or wherever in Louisiana. Sure, give me more of that. Like, stay in that gym, because this is the first time in his entire career that you're seeing him in the gym, and it's not even, you know, August, right? The video came out in July. Like, that's huge. I love that, because I don't want this to be a whole nother year where, oh, it's just Rob being the same old Rob. No. He's got to really take things to another level here. And what I mean by that is just being available.
Yeah, Rob needs to take it to another level, and Porzingis has to play.
Then you got the conundrum, like, who starts? Is it Williams or is it Horford? Is it some night's going to be either or? I don't know what I'm saying.
I think if you're going to load manage Horford, he comes off the bench. I think that makes sense.
But the load management for him is, we already know, it's back to backs. That's what it is.
About 14 games this season.
But what happens when there's a back to back and one of those two, Porzingis and Williams, is out already?
Yeah. So then I think you're going to see Al Horford get the back-to-back treatment and probably a little bit of extra, and hope that Robert Williams and Chris Porzingis can stay healthy. Because literally, if you take Robert Williams and you take Al Horford and Porzingis off the team, you legitimately have wings and guards. That's all. Like, Blake Griffin is your biggest guy, and if you're counting on Blake to play meaningful minutes at any point during the season, we're fucked. So,
well, we don't even know if he's even coming back, but yeah, I got you.
Well, is he not? Oh, he's not even signed. Yeah, so there's literally only way.
You forgot your boy, Luke the Hornet.
Don't even.
Your face right now, like, are you serious?
I'm just saying, like, that's brutal. That's brutal. It's brutal. It's brutal. It's a very brittle front court. And I know that front court isn't the craziest thing in the world, but
yeah, I just think the bench is a little weakened, but yeah, I get what you're saying.
You go up against Bam Adebayo in a playoff series, and you roll out Luke Kornet and Al Horford, supposed to be stopping him 48 minutes. That's not gonna work, man.
I mean, not for nothing. Like, you know, Horford on the offensive end, he just ran out of gas. Back to back, you know, 7-game series on the offensive end, like, you know, he had to play more in the middle than any other big man that the Celtics had. Even more so than Robert Williams. Robert Williams, you know, wasn't Robert Williams for most of the playoffs.
Yeah. Well, that's been every single playoffs that Robert Williams has been a part of. It's been a Celtic. So he was who he was, if you actually really think about it. Playoff Rob.
Oh, man.
All right, well, we'll see what happens, man. I mean, look, we're not that far from training camp and all that good stuff. And, you know, everyone's saying the old, what they did in the offseason and how they want to approach the upcoming season and all that. But when it comes down to it, man, that's what everyone's going to be having their eyes on, man. KP, how this whole thing plays itself out, because let's face it, last year's disappointing finish not only left a bad taste in all the Celtics fans, but it also pissed them off to see, or at least a good chunk of those fans, to see Marcus Smart get traded not long after that. And I, look, I really do believe that it was something that Brad thinks is best for this team. He had to shake things up, and it has a lot to do with the Miami Heat. I really do believe that. I think he was trying to find ways to add a weapon that could disrupt what the Miami Heat, you know, were doing in that series. And I think Porzingis does a lot of that. You know, when you look at his game and you look at the last four to five seasons with the stuff that have been through, I mean, they've always sort of longed for someone like this, right? Like, I mean, yeah, they got that in Al, but, you know, to have another 20-plus point score to complement Tatum and Brown, I think was important, but also just to add someone that can give you something on both ends of the floor, I think was the overall goal going into the offseason. Like, this is Brad's guy from the beginning, if you ask me.
Yeah. I mean, he definitely is Brad's guy. I think he's everything Brad ever wanted in a player. But as we were looking into this and we're talking about like the pipe dream of Porzingis actually being available in the playoffs, if you remember when he played with Luka post bubble and they had that little run.
Oh, that didn't go over well.
Well, no, Porzingis played. Okay, and then all of a sudden played like absolute dog shit and missed a bunch of games, and then they got knocked out of playoffs. So
that's when Luka said, "Yeah, I can't play with this dude.
And I'm sorry, if there's one dude that I want on my team, it's Luka, because he will play through anything and he'll fight through anything and he'll tough it out. So you're getting the exact opposite kind of guy in Porzingis, and you gave up a guy like Marcus Smart. So I will need to be sold on this. I do not feel solid about it. I do not feel positive about it. I would like to be pleasantly surprised, but I have very low expectations. And
but that shit ain't happening.
Yeah, if the Celtics do win, if the Celtics do have, and I'll say this, if the Celtics are in the Eastern Conference or Finals next year, I think that there's major shakeups on this team. Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum are having spectacular seasons, coupled with major shakeups and a really emergent season from Derek White. And that's how this works. I think everything else, maybe a flash in the pan, but it's not sustainable with the way this roster is put together. So,
all right. We'll see. We got plenty of time. We got plenty of episodes lined up between now and training camp, so we'll dive back into that. But you know what, Joel? Let's, for the first time in a while, man, let's take a trip across the NBA. Why don't you tell us what's going on around the association? It's around that time, guys. It's been a while. With Joel, in case you missed it.
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 Joel, what we missed?
All right. In case you missed it. The NBA has fined James Harden $100,000 for his recent comments of calling Philadelphia 76ers president of basketball operations Daryl Morey a quote liar during a Adidas marketing event in China last week. He told
my guy Adam Silver said, "Throw the book at that motherfucker."
He was in front of a big crowd in attendance, and he said Morey is a liar, and he will never be part of an organization that he is a part of.
And then he said,
"You think you got that much pull, man? You think you got that much pull?"
No. And then he said, "Let me repeat that."
Yes.
Twice. He ran him back. He pulled it back.
To the point. Yeah. To the point where it was just like, any other question? They were like, "Oh shit. Like, I don't even know where do we go from here."
I feel like he said that the second time to all people in the back. And I feel like he wanted to be like, "Guys, did you hear what I just said? Daryl Morey." You know what I mean? It was like he wanted the whole room to be like, or even cheer. But everyone's kind of just like, "Yo, why are you talking about your boss like that?"
Yeah. Some people cheered when he said it the second time, but it was still more like, "Okay."
That's what he was going for.
Yeah.
Did you guys hear what I just said? This is the guy who you guys can't stand. This is the reason why you can't even watch my games in this country. You know what I mean?
I bet you a lot of people were just like, "What? Who? Oh, okay."
Right. They have no idea.
Yeah. Harden told NBA investigators his comments were in reference to Morey reportedly telling him that the 76ers would trade him, quote, quickly after he opted into his player option for the upcoming 2023-24 season, which is worth $35.6 million. According to ESPN, Philly's asking price for Harden was, quote, steep, and no teams were, quote, willing or able to meet it, end quote. The 76ers are about 2 weeks ago. Also said that they had decided to end trade talks surrounding Harden and expect him to report to training camp. So, right? So, in response to the fine, the National Basketball Players Association, or the NBPA, released a statement that they plan to file a grievance to an arbitrator disputing the $100,000 fine. Quote, we respectfully disagree with the league's decision to discipline James Harden for recent comments he made, which we believe do not violate the rule against public trade demands. We intend to file a grievance and have the matter heard by our arbitrators, end quote. So, I mean, there were so many rumors and reports, like, leading up to these comments by James that, like, the Clippers were going to trade for him, and the Rockets. Remember, even, like right after the trade demand was made by Harden, even before he was going to opt in, it was like, oh, you know, like the Rockets are so interested in Harden. And you got to wonder, like, why would the Rockets be fucking interested in trading for James Harden? Especially when you got, like, Ime, who used to coach him in Brooklyn, was probably like, nah, man, we good with this dude here. We're going to go with the fucking the youth movement. Don't need this dude to come in here and get rid of all our assets for, like, what, 1 year of fucking Harden? Like, no, like, we're good.
I mean, it's like, yeah, we just got banned from the league, bro. We're good.
I don't feel bad for either Harden or Philly in this situation. Like, this dude, like, Harden, he's a stubborn-ass dude. So if they thought it was bad when Ben Simmons, like, didn't want to come to training camp or play basketball at all, we're going in for the long haul here when it comes to James Harden.
Yo, can I it's going to be an ugly situation.
But go ahead.
This whole situation, too, like, all right, Harden, awful, like, person.
Human? Yeah.
Yeah. Traded himself. Well, not human. I don't know. Maybe. Who knows? He's just selfish. Super selfish, right? Worked his way out of now four situations. Blah, 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 blah. Right? But, like, why does everyone want to get away from Embiid so bad? Like, everybody on, like, it just seems like the, you have a guy that just won the MVP and no one wants to play with him. Like, what is up with that? Like, Simmons left, Harden left. You had a bunch of other players not re-signed there. It seems like they can't bring a big player in. The only guy that's like, yeah, I'll play with Embiid is Tobias Harris, whose best friend is Boban. So he'd like fucking everybody do. You know? Like, what's wrong with Embiid? Is that something that you think plays into this whole thing?
That's a really good question, Sean. I'm glad you said that. But Joel, go ahead first.
Yeah, I mean, I never really thought about it like that because in terms of, like, Simmons, I think Simmons just didn't want to be coached by Doc Rivers. Doc Rivers wasn't a Morey
right.
signing or hiring, whatever you want to call it.
So I will agree with you. You could make a reason why every player that's not been re-signed or left.
Plus, who was the guy? Who was the guy that they had before Morey? I think two guys before Morey who had a burner account and was talking reckless on Twitter about, I don't know if it was about Embiid, I forget.
Colangelo. Yeah.
Was it about Embiid though? Was he
franchise is a mess, man.
Was he talking about Embiid on Twitter? Okay. All right.
Something like that.
It was about Embiid on his burner account and he got caught up like similar to what
he put.
Sean, that's a good point, man. I honestly just think the kind of player that James Harden is, in the sense of having the ball in his hand and the way he likes to attack and all that stuff. Like, you can say what they want about him in terms of, you know, how frustrating that whole thing is in terms of, you know, pretty much getting away with the walk and get the free throw line so many times. But it's he's one of a kind in the sense that he sort of changed the game, right? It showed guys that, you know, you can do that. But also I feel like he's at a point in his career where it's like, yo, man, like, you got to adapt now. You know, you're not that same guy anymore. I think he's having a really hard time with that now. You look at someone like Joel Embiid, who's in the middle of an MVP season, think he's going to try to give the ball to James Harden, let him run the show? No, absolutely not. Joel Embiid runs the show. And I think sometimes that's hard for a lot of players to handle because he's different, right? He's a big, he's got the outside shot, but he doesn't really have to handle it, right? He's not going to break from the dribble and all that, but the offense always goes through him. And I feel like Harden at times, obviously, you know, we know firsthand, at least in that series against the Celtics, that he had his moments, right, where he looked like the old James and everything looked great. And he, you know, finally put together at least two extraordinary performances against the Celtics in that series. And he's a big reason why that game, you know, they had a 3-2 lead on the Celtics, but they were just unable to figure that thing out. I felt like they were potentially on the cusp of something. And Philly wasted no time in firing Doc Rivers. Philly wasted no time in, you know, trying to appease or whatever they're trying to do right now with James Harden. Meanwhile, Joel Embiid is just like, wait, what are we doing here, man? Every time I think that we're a step closer, we're taking a huge step back.
Right.
And he's scaring, you know, Sixers fans because anything that's in his profile on Twitter is gone. There's nothing about the 76ers in his profile anymore.
Yeah, man. I mean, that's got to be the other side of the coin.
You look at the last like 4 or 5 years, whenever a player does that, that's the universal sign for I'm not happy with the way things are going. And then you couple that with the podcast appearance he made about a month ago saying, look, I want a championship, and damn it, I don't care where it's at. Just give me a championship. Like, all these hints he's been giving this organization. And then for this whole thing to blow up in everybody's face, for someone like Embiid to go on record saying that he would love to have James Harden back, and then this happens, and then Embiid goes ahead and wipes out his profile on Twitter. I mean, it's a big mess. And at the end of the day, you want to make your MVP as happy as possible, and they're just doing the complete opposite right now.
Yeah. Like, he wasn't happy with the Doc firing. Like,
that was his guy. He said that was one of the first things he asked when they were eliminated. And he's like, no, I love Doc. They're like, oh, well.
And he also said,
we'll wait a few days then, I guess.
He also said, you need to get, me and James need help. I think that's what he said. He said, me and James need help.
And he was sitting there with his arms out, like, really?
And then,
really?
But, it was a fucked up thing for him to say. But he also understood, like, hey, I can't go forward without having a guy like James on Harden on the team. Like, Harden has to stay.
Well, I mean, like, look what they traded.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, look what they traded to get
Harden. We're taking a big step back. Like, look at what Boston's doing right now, you know?
And you know what? You know what, too? Like, this whole Dame Lillard shit, too. Like, the fact that they wouldn't even include Maxey in as a starting conversation there is insanity to me. Yeah. Like, pair Lillard up with Embiid. Don't say we're not trading Maxey. No, not even for that's like Mike Gorman saying back in the day, what was it? He wouldn't trade Avery Bradley for LeBron James, man. That's basically the same thing of saying, oh, we could have an all NBA player, but we're just gonna pass on him because we like the potential here. You already got an Embiid. Yo, that franchise, if I'm Embiid, man, I am literally out of there the fucking fast as I can. I'm forcing my way. I'm thinking, you know what, James? Daryl Morey is a liar. He is a liar. Let's all get fucking traded, man. Let's do it.
Yeah, but with the damn thing, though, he won't go anywhere unless it's Miami. He's already been clear about that, so I don't know.
Yeah, but I think if you gave him the opportunity to play with Embiid, and it was going to be a fair package.
No, but if you're Portland, do you want James Harden for Damian Lillard?
No, you want Maxey. So you give him Maxey. Yeah,
but that doesn't work. Contract-wise, that doesn't work. You have to trade like half the roster for him.
No, what John is saying is that you have him for a year. The contract goes, and then you go, but you have Maxey as someone as a piece for the future.
You can figure it out, yes. Or you could, yeah.
Yeah.
But they said no
it
way.
It would essentially be them punting the season. They would be punting the season in the future.
Yeah, anyway. Well, I mean, Harden didn't go to fucking Embiid's wedding either, so I don't know that whatever that means, but... No, it is what it is.
Yo, it was cheeseburger night at the strip club, Joel.
Oh, wait, my bad. You know, priorities are priorities, you know? The fact that Doc Rivers was like, before the playoffs, like, yo, get your strip club, you know, appearances out of the way. Go ham wherever you need to go, because I need you ready for the fucking playoffs. And now what? This dude always gets what he wants, so this is gonna be a long, drawn out thing. Worse than the fucking Ben Simmons situation. So much worse. And I'm here for it, by the way.
For sure.
Oh yeah.
He's not gonna, you know, Morey's not gonna. He's not gonna budge. He's gonna be like, hey, why don't you just go home, man? Don't worry about it.
I know, right? Yeah. We'll be here waiting, though, if you want to.
As his value diminishes.
Yeah. In case you missed it. The New York Knicks. Listen to this. The New York Knicks are suing the Toronto Raptors. All right.
Ooh, a little lawsuit action. There
okay. I've never heard this, by the way. A professional team. Professional team suing another professional team in the same freaking league. Anyways. So the
I'll
Knicks,
see you in court, buddy.
The Knicks. The Knicks are suing the Toronto Raptors because of a former employee with the Knicks who just got hired by the Raptors, allegedly, illegally disclosed proprietary information about the Knicks to the Raptors. Okay? According to the lawsuit, which was filed in the U.S. District Court in Manhattan, the Knicks state that, I'm about to butcher the fuck out of this dude's name.
Oh, I know where you're going.
Ikechukwu Azatam, or Azatam, or Azatam, who worked for the Knicks from 2020 to just this past summer, sent the Raptors thousands of confidential files, including play frequency reports, a prep book for the 2022-23 season, video scouting files, opposition research, and more. After the team began recruiting him, we're talking about like the Raptors, to join their organization earlier this summer. Mm-hmm. So the Knicks are accusing this dude who worked as an assistant video coordinator, and then he was a director of video analytics, player development assistant, all types of shit, violating a confidentiality clause in an employment agreement that alleged that members of the Raptors directed this dude's actions, knowingly benefited from wrongful acts. So,
not gonna lie, Joel, I feel like you could have explained that way easier, but I kept up with it, dude. I kept up with it.
And, I'm a little lost, but all right.
Basically, well, a former Knick employee who had a bunch of titles at one point because he's been there for three seasons. You know, he was assistant video coordinator. He was a player developmental assistant.
He gave away the family recipe.
Or he sent a bunch of files to the Raptors prior to getting hired.
He showed him how to make the secret sauce. Now, I got you. Yeah, now, he gave him the juice.
Now,
yeah.
There's 11. No, I'm sorry. There's 10 unknown Raptor employees.
The relish, big part of it.
There was 10 unknown Raptor employees, including their new head coach, Darko Rahanokovic.
His email subject line was, "It's not just Thousand Island dressing, okay? There's more to the secret sauce."
They're all listed as defendants in this Nick lawsuit. All right, so.
Someone, real quick, man. Someone at school, man, back in the day got me so mad about that. Dude, it's Thousand Island. I go, you think McDonald's just throwing Thousand Island on their burgers and saying this? Like, no, dude, there's no way.
Have you tasted Thousand Island? Doesn't taste anything like it.
You see the color, and you're like, that dog, like, what is the matter with you, dude? I think it's so mad.
Ridiculous.
What's wrong with your taste buds?
I agree. I think it's lazy.
Doesn't even have a relish in it, bro. You're not even close. But anyways,
so what's the guy's name again?
His last name is Asshole Time. Yeah. All right. He illegally shared 3,358 video files.
Oh shit!
this guy's a dick.
That's bad videos.
The stolen files were quote accessed over 2,000 times by Raptors defendants in the lawsuit.
Oh, fuck! This is something petty, man. He didn't get enough vacation hours or something, man. This is something like
or James Dolan called him the wrong name every fucking day. He's like had a tough name to pronounce. He was like, "I'm just gonna call you Ricky, okay?" And he's like, "No. My name means a lot to me in my home country." He's like, "All right, Ricky." And he's like,
"Yo, guys, get a load of Ricky, man. He's trying to tell me that's his name."
Yo, there was definitely some just like James Dolan like disregarding this motherfucker. He went home every day.
And the whole office is just laughing at the same time. Like he pointed at him.
Yeah, Ricky. Oh, Ricky. Hey, you know.
My whole thing is like just because like the Raptors like hired you or they like interviewed you for whatever position you were hired for. It's like, oh, by the way, I got these fucking Nick files if you want them. Like, I don't understand. How does that like benefit him or the Raptors? I don't know. It's like, it's not like the Raptors are like playoff contenders right now.
Yeah, but nothing, man. Missouri, the GM over there, he seems like a really nice guy, man. I can just see him just having like a profound effect on this dude. Just being like, yo, man, I can't believe what I saved here. He's like, what do you got there? Or he just like, he sent it over to him and he was just like, yo, man, like, this is super illegal. He's just like, nah, man, we'll keep it between us. You know?
Like this legit happened like last week. Like the Knicks just learned of this like a day after this motherfucker's like last day as an employee of the Knicks. You can't tell me this, like you said, like Sean said, like this shit was like on purpose, some petty shit. I don't know.
Yeah, it could have been, everything was like super under wraps. And then like his last day, he was just walking out and he was just like, yo, fuck Ricky, man. That's not even my fucking name. He just spazzed out on fucking everybody in the office. And then he was like, as he was like knocking over the last file, he was like, and I sent the Raptors a bunch of the fucking videos too.
Yeah, I was gonna say, how did they find out? Really went through his shit?
Yeah, that's insane.
He was probably sending it through like his work email for all we know.
Oh, yeah, dude. Probably. But yo, they do most organizations, when they shut your shit down, bro, they make sure that shit stays locked on the computer, and they will like if all that stuff's on the computer, they'll run traces back like 30 days to make sure that shit wasn't fucking pulled off or exported.
But I feel like that's more so if someone gets like fired. It doesn't say anything about him getting fired. I think he's just like, oh, yeah, I got a new job, and you know,
leaves. Put same in, thing with somebody that leaves. They go back and check that shit.
Yeah, but no, but they found out like the day after he left.
Like, yeah, because they were like, "Oh, let's just do our routine check," and they're like, "Holy fuck, Ricky, dude! What the hell has this guy been doing, man?"
Everyone's still calling him Ricky.
Oh, yo, it says it right here. Hold on. It says it right here. Look, it says that he began secretly forwarding proprietary information from his Knicks email account to his personal Gmail account. Yeah. Which is then shared with the Raptors defendants. What the fuck, dude?
He thought he was slick.
He tried to send it to himself. That's what happened. And then he got caught.
He's like, I just wanted to print it out of my home printer so I'd have to use your ink in the work office. I just don't get it.
But you don't work here anymore. Still.
Ricky!
Ricky! It's like, your personal email doesn't even say Ricky. That's because my name's not fucking...
Who is this guy? Who is this personal email?
Like, you try to trick us, huh? Fake name?
Oh, yeah, huh? Yeah. Let me guess.
And then you're gonna have Spike Lee in a couple of days. Like, see? That's what they do over there. They're fucking with the okie doke with people like, you know, for like this fucking Ricky guy, you know?
This Ricky guy.
Yeah, bro. That's that good old Knicks organization. That was, you know, they just banger after banger, bro. It's like Philly. It's so funny when like you look at the Atlantic Division.
It's just a mess, bro.
It's just a fucking disaster. And then like the Celtics are in such good shape. I'm over here complaining about getting the best third option in the league. Meanwhile, you got the Knicks fucking firing Ricky and him Benedict Arnolding their fucking whole organization.
The inner workings.
to the Raptors and shit.
And then Harden being like, yo, why don't you blow me, dude? Why don't you just do that? It's like, okay, we're actually in an okay spot.
Yeah. The Raptors. Meanwhile, yeah, it's the Celtics and like Brooklyn. Those are the only two that are like, you know.
Brooklyn is just putting out the fires of Harden and KD and Kyrie pissing all over them for fucking 3 years. They're a ways away. They got problems too. So it's literally just a Celtics. It's just a Celtics, man. We're gonna be okay. You know what? I've talked myself into it. We're gonna be okay this year, guys. We're gonna be okay.
I can't wait to see how, you know, Doc Rivers going back to the broadcast booth, because you know he's gonna get that itch to be like, you know what Philly problem is? He's just gonna go in one day.
Daryl Beeb and Morey, that's the problem with it.
It's gonna be like,
he's ignoring things and it blows up in their face. We're gonna go to commercial break. I don't want to.
No, I'm not done. They come back like, yeah, Doggett won't be joining us the rest of the broadcast right? today.
What the fuck? You know, like he's going to go off.
All right. In case you missed it, some Celtics news here. Sway.
It is a privilege to play in this league.
It's like a Philadelphia Jazz game on fucking ESPN 10 p.m. at night, dude.
Everyone's like, yeah, put dog on that game. All right,
this spazzes, dude.
It's one of the tournaments, in season tournament games, and it's just like he just goes off for no fucking reason.
Oh man, even better.
Rich, goes by nuts. The way, we didn't. Okay, the Richard Jefferson video of the in-season tournament seems like it's an I think you should leave skit.
Oh
no, I haven't seen it. But what's why does it seem like a skit? He just said like he's not taking it seriously.
Yeah, it's almost like this is how playoffs work. Like you know, like just telling something very simple in a very complicated way, and the music behind it, bro, and like. What he's wearing, it just seems, I think,
but that's just him though. Like that's his fucking personality. Like yeah, on man, and off just, camera.
Just watch the. It's like it's a minute long. It explains it, and it's just like, and then at the end, he's like, and that's who wins the in season tournament. Like you know, it's like yeah, but what do they win? Like what's the point of this? Like it's just. A minute of filler, and just watch it. Watch it and tell me what you think.
I feel like they should have like spiced it up with like two future first round picks or something. I don't know, man. I feel like playing for half a million, first round picks for like Peyton Pritchard. That sounds amazing, but like for most players, like we win half a million. If we don't, it is what it is. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, it's like yo, I'll just. Like Jason Tatum's like, okay, well, I'll just sell like 10 more shoes a month and I'll be good.
Exactly. Like for Pritchard, that's like 1/4 of his contract, or like you know another player something similar. But like I just feel like with whether it's load management or whether it's just the fact that teams are gonna be like, look, we're not gonna put out our best. You know, we're not gonna treat this.
No, they need to make it an organizational level of. Something the organization gets that benefits the team.
I think it should be a pick, man. I think it should be a freaking first rounder, man.
I think you should get
a free first round pick if you win this whole thing.
Jesus. Yeah, I honestly think that the way I look at it.
If people don't think the NBA is rigged now, like imagine that with that shit, like.
I think it should be a pick swap. The team
it's
that
like
wins.
Lottery. It's not a lottery pick, though. It's just that you get a first round. No, you know? It's going to be 31 picks next year. First round.
It should be a pick swap. It should be the team that wins.
It should be a pick swap. No, because then you're losing something that you never even signed up for. Like, it's not fair.
Well, don't fucking finish last then, bro. You know?
Oh, no. You have to tank it or go all in. And if you lose, if you make it to the finals and lose, if you get a pick C, you lose your pick.
No, it would be like the team with the worst overall record in the tournament.
They lose a pick.
Swap it with the winner.
Yeah, but yeah, they suck. You're not supposed to win shit, man.
Yeah,
we need that pick, man. Like, come on. The Orlando Magic would be like, what the fuck? What do you mean we lose a pick?
Or you know what? You just create a pick 10A and 10B, and the championship gets pick number 10B, and then the draft just goes on.
And then whoever gets the 11th pick is going to be like, yo, this is bullshit, fellas. Like, we've been eyeing this guy for months.
Yeah, well, you shouldn't have fucking lost the NBA play-in tournament, you know?
He's like, well, sorry, Spurs. Well, you know, you should make Wembanyama better or something. What do you think?
Yo, but I know they should incentivize it. It needs to be draft compensation, or you know what else I like is just being like, hey, if you make the playoffs, you automatically avoid the play-in tournament. So like. If you're the 10th seed and you won the fucking championship in the middle of the season, you automatically are the sixth seed, and the sixth seed falls into the play-in tournament or whatever. You know what I mean?
That would be more that would make things much better.
Because that would make it like, hey, those middling teams, they'll play really hard to make sure that, hey, just in case we fucking flounder, we have a first round fucking series.
Yeah, but what if they're just like, yo, let's just rest our guys and just lock in that spot. It's fucking January or whatever, December.
Well, they still have to make it in the top 10, so, you know.
Okay. I thought you meant like they're guaranteed at 16. Like, oh, okay. It wouldn't shock me if a team won that tournament and then they didn't make the playoffs. Imagine. What would they get?
Oh, that's 1,000% supposed to be. It's supposed to be like the fucking Champions League. Oh, you know what the other thing is? They were talking about Champions League. Bring in other fucking countries' best teams and bring them into the fucking tournament.
That's what I thought they were going to do. Like, that's what Adam Silver was talking about when the NBA, before the NBA Finals started in 2022.
I think you got to travel to another country and it's just...
Yeah, he probably went through the logistics and was just like, no, we're not fucking doing that.
Not doing that.
But that's what he was, that's how he first presented his idea, before the finals. And when, you know, he does the commissioner's address.
No, this is for like the bad teams to get on national TV. That's all this is. This is for bad teams not to fucking tank and to, you know, make some of these games actually count.
And make them feel special.
And make them feel special. Yeah. It's like this cup on the MLS and the Canadian and the fucking Mexican League teams. Like, all those teams are, they're, for the most part, even before Messi arrived, they were whack, you know? So, they got eyes on their team, and,
yeah. All right, Joel, what else you missed?
All right, in case you missed it, the Celtics this week, plan to, according to Shams here, they're going to work out forwards Lamar Jermaine. Stevens and TJ Warren.
Yes, goddamn time.
So,
yay,
TJ.
The Celtics have two remaining roster spots. So
now, guys, is it Lance? Guys,
don't sleep on the the TJ Warren we saw in the bubble. All right, that guy's still there somewhere. You know?
Yeah, all I know is that Sway and my fantasy team that year kept TJ Warren on the injured reserve all year, hoping that motherfucker would come back, and he never did. Never did.
We did 2021. That. That's right.
Yo, I did get shot.
Because every conversation would be like, and then when TJ Warren comes back, bro?
Yeah.
It's about to be on and popping. It's about to be on and popping, you know?
Yo, man. They just saved him there for another 2 months.
Yo, if Warren does get signed by the Celtics, that's two former Pacers teammates that Brogdon will be playing with, unless Brogdon gets traded, but, you know, who knows?
I'm a big O'Shea Brissett guy. I'm a big O'Shea Brissett guy. I just don't know necessarily.
Well, he's more of a wing, I feel like, than a fucking
Joel.
Front court guy.
No, he's Grant's replacement.
He's Grant's replacement. Joel. All right, cool.
All we have.
I know. I get it, man.
Everyone is a wing.
I get it. We got flats. I get it. We got flats and we got fucking. I get it. He's like a lot of wings.
Rick Ross when it comes to wings, bro.
Yeah, mad wings. I get it.
Yeah, no, but he's like, hey, I just want a certain type of wing. Like, Brad's a flat guy. He's a flat guy. He doesn't look like it at all.
1,000%. He's a numbers guy, so he's just like, dude, everyone loves flats. Like, flats are key.
It's like you get two bones in a flat, okay? So there's bound to be more meat. No,
there's more bones.
There's less meat.
Yeah.
Oh, jeez, I don't even fucking like talking to flat people, man. I'm a drummy all day, bro.
Me too, man. Like, unless you're a girl. Like, girls love that. Okay, whatever.
Girls, no, but the thing about flats. No, the thing about flats. That's what I'm about to say. The thing about flats is they're easier for like those who are not big with the bones, because not everybody are fans of bones in general. You just, the way you can pull a flat through, I mean, the chicken through the flat is easier than.
Yeah, but it's clearly not better though. Like, it's not
I'm not saying it's better. I just feel like it's, you know, easier for people who are not really big on bones.
Yeah, I feel like people who like little slimy little fucking things like those fucking things, dude. That's it. That's it.
That's it. That's it.
Also, I want to make sure this is very clear. I am a big fan of the Jordan Walsh pick, man. I think that's going to be a great friggin' pick for them. The only problem is he's basically going to like fall into the Marcus Smart role of defending their best player because he's a great defender, but he's not a ball handler. So it defeats the point. You just have another defensive wing.
Right? Wait, hold on. Are you telling me he's going to play over Peyton Pritchard? Is that what you're telling me?
I think that Jordan wants to get more minutes than Peyton Pritchard.
Hold on. The Peyton Pritchard who was at it again, balling up, scoring 61 points at the Ball Don't Stop program in Vancouver.
George, I was thinking another case.
Is that what it is? Is that what you're talking about?
He's practicing for the in season tournament to make
that. George is now going through like the current events from Celtics.
Like, oh, I mean, that was my third one because I thought you were going to talk about T.J. Warren. You sounded so excited about it in the beginning, so that's why.
we did get sidetracked by Ricky fucking stealing all those files, dog. That was an
story. Yeah, man. I didn't expect a lawsuit to make in case you missed them. Well, at least between two teams, I guess I should say.
On a serious note though, like with Smart gone, this doesn't Peyton get those minutes or some more minutes than he got last year?
Nope.
I think he does. I think he certainly does. I mean, he's earned it. He's definitely earned that opportunity. But
he's like,
you know, coming off the bench, and being a an everyday player, I think he's good enough. I really do. And I think it had a little bit to do with them not having a big problem with letting Marcus go. I don't think it was one of those things where they're like, oh, we can trade Marcus, we got Peyton. I don't think it was quite like that. But I think that they knew that one, they have the utmost confidence in Derek White, and two, that Pritchard could take on that secondary role with someone like Malcolm Brogdon. Now, I think a lot of it had to do with Brogdon's trade value diminishing after the Clippers deal. It was one of those things where I feel like they were like, let's just hold on to him. We're fine, you know, and moving forward, we'll have Pritchard sort of that 1-2 punch coming off the bench along with Brogdon. But yeah, I really do believe though, this is a big part of that was that they felt comfortable giving the keys to Derek White. I mean, you don't go out and say that weeks or months before training camp if you didn't feel that way, right? And I think White's earned that, you know? You can make a case that White outperformed Marcus in the postseason, you know? I really think you could make that case. All season long, maybe not so, but during the postseason, I mean, he took it to another level.
Well, Sway, I think Derek White definitely outperformed Marcus Smart.
I thought you were saying, whoa, don't say that.
No. I think you're on to something. I think though that way of thinking, if Brad Stevens, okay, we're getting into this shit again, man, above that.
Go ahead. Last take.
If Brad Stevens looked at it and said, well, Marcus is, you know, expendable now because Derek White has outperformed him. Like, no, like now that's exactly what you want, Marcus. Being number four, being number five, you put talent around him. Key Marcus, he thrives in that role, and you let him go for Porzingis, who can't stay on the floor.
I mean,
yeah. Look, Sean, when that first report came out, I was like, this is a freaking steal. You know?
Steal.
Malcolm Brogdon.
Brogdon,
you're giving up the end of the bench pieces, and you're getting Kristaps Porzingis. I mean, look, Marcus Smart, he told me in that first interview after the trade, he went to bed thinking that, man, I'm at the ball with Kristaps Porzingis. You know, like that would have been ideal, but I don't know, man. A lot of the whole report just seemed fishy to me. I honestly feel like it was one of those, almost feel like it was one of those like take it or leave it deals because they didn't want the Clippers to do a thorough physical in Brogdon and find out what they already know. You know what I mean? Like, you don't present that deal in the final day, you know, almost as a take it or leave it situation if you're not hiding something. So, I mean, it's just one of those things where I feel like it was in the back of their minds that there's a good chance we're going to trade Marcus. And Marcus, one thing that he told me was that a week before the deal went down, they told him that he was safe. That he wasn't going to be traded at all.
So. Yeah, because there was reports that like they're like, oh, one of the Celtics like point guards is going to get traded, and it was right. a lot of people just assumed there was going to be.
If you're a team calling the Boston Celtics, you're not going to ask for Jalen or Tatum. You're going to go right for Marcus because you already know what the answer is for those two guys. You know what I mean?
So, yeah,
yeah, but I mean, wouldn't you feel like this team would be better off because they had what was their second round pick that they had in this draft that was super high?
35,
right? Wouldn't you have said
they made like four trades that in draft
night. Right, but wouldn't you have said like, yo, listen, like take the 35th pick too. Take the 35th best player, take Brogdon as is, and I would have thrown multiple picks at the deal to make it work versus trading Smart because you literally just give up. I don't want to get into it again, man.
I mean, look.
Fair enough.
Look, basically, if the Clippers weren't so worried all of a sudden about injuries, you know, because they got their own injury issues.
The two best players.
Marcus would still be here, okay?
That's whole freaking problem.
Yeah, yeah. You know? So basically, the Clippers
have messed up. To be worried about injuries.
Yeah, yeah. All of a sudden, right? Yeah. So the Clippers basically.
So shame on them.
basically, the Clippers messed up. You know, Marcus staying here and James Harden not leaving Philly. That's what it boils down to when it comes to the fucking Clippers.
Clippers are dirty. They're dirty, and now all of a sudden they have moral and medical ethics. You know, get the fuck out of here.
All right, that's gonna do it for this edition of In Case You Missed It. Follow us on all social media platforms at Causeway Street. Don't forget to subscribe to our After Hours on Patreon. That's patreon.com/causeway for exclusive episodes of our after show and the one-on-one podcast with Sway. Before I forget, big shout out to those that reached out to me personally to congratulate me on the birth of my daughter. That was, you know, much appreciated during my paternity leave. So again, much appreciated for those who are, always been, great supporters and our day ones too. Can't forget them.
Also, hashtag free Ricky, you know?
Yeah, man. Ricky couldn't be, reached for any comments on this, ongoing story here in this lawsuit. I wonder why.
I want updates next week, man. Deadass.
Yeah, man. I want Morgan and Morgan to be on this podcast next week.
They do injuries, update. Bro. They do injuries.
Yes. Yo, speaking of that Marcus Smart interview, man, I got the exclusive up on our Patreon. There were three reporters, or four of us, that got the exclusive with Marcus. And I got about an extra 2 minutes with Marcus after the cameras went off. So, again, check that out on One-on-One with Joe Sway as part of the patreon.com/causeway platform. And by subscribing, you've already entered our free jersey giveaway, the raffle of any Celtics jersey you want, man. We'll even get you Porzingis if you want.
Nah, man.
You're missing Marcus. We'll
get
a
smart.
Marcus.
There you go.
Want,
there you go.
Any freaking jersey you want.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, motherfucker. Yeah. Sway, did you tell him how devastated I was?
Yeah, a little bit. We talked about it on the show.
Good.
Just so you can give everyone an idea of where you rank Marcus. Where would you rank Marcus? Let's cut it down to the last 10 years of your favorite Celtics players.
Celtics player. So post Paul Pierce, Kevin Garnett era.
Yeah, man. All right. Crowder's up there. I think Jay's definitely in the top five. I had to guess, but
yeah. But I think you're gonna have to go. I think it's Tatum then Smart, bro.
I was thinking Marcus Tatum. Wow, that's what I had in my mind. I thought you were gonna be like, you know what, bro? I'd go Marcus and then Tatum. All right.
Those are the top two. I mean, IT's definitely third.
Okay.
I mean, it's just hard for me to say not Tatum because I was one of the first people to say that Tatum was going to be a top five guy. And I remember I got laughed out of a barbershop one time.
Are you serious?
Yeah, man. I vividly remember this. The Fine Lines.
You gotta go back to that barbershop and talk shit.
No, I just haven't gone back. And then I pulled into the parking lot one time. I was like, actually, they sort of gave me a shitty haircut. So I don't think it's worth it. I go back in. Like right when I moved to Brockton, I was trying to find a fucking haircut. And I was like, nah, man, Tatum's going to be a top five guy. And then give it 5 years. Yeah, it fucking got laughed at. But,
wait, was this in Norwood?
No, this was in Brockton. Brockton.
Okay.
But yeah, man, I have the Marcus Smart jersey. When I bought that Marcus Smart jersey, I said I'm never buying another jersey. I think Marcus Smart's number should be in the fucking rafters. I do.
Jesus.
I believe it. You can tell where he ranks for me, man. You know?
The last thing I'll say about Marcus is, like,
I feel like he's getting eulogized right now.
I feel like out of his whole tenure here, only the last two seasons, he was given the opportunity to be the point guard, which we all thought him to be. Which we thought, like, that was going to happen as soon the moment he got drafted. It was like, okay, yep. Rondo's days are numbered. You know, many people, including myself, bought in after a few seasons. Like, okay, this dude, like, he understood the assignment of how to be a Celtic, right? So the Celtics had plenty of opportunities and chances to win a championship or to win a championship with Marcus Smart on the roster. So that's how I'm looking at it to make myself feel better, I guess. But that's where I'm at.
Nah, man. Brad
Stevens. Look at this. Tatum and Brown couldn't get it done, man. Like if I'm Marcus in like 4 or 5 years from now as a joke or whatever, playfully joking around, I would be like, you know, that's the reason they traded me, right?
It's cool.
They had to get something to help you guys, but they were like, man, these two just can't cut it. Like, I would bust the balls with that all the time about Marcus, but that's beside the point. But I mean, at the end of the day, Brad was like, this team isn't good enough, you know? You gotta credit him for making that tough decision. Now, the thing built up in space. Everyone,
I know.
The criticism will be warranted. I mean, he brought it on himself, but it's a risk, you know.
Yeah,
you don't have to give him shit for trading Marcus Smart. I don't have to give him nothing.
Man, I mean,
somehow we could play out an alternative future, man. Because you know damn well, I'd be like, man, they're really gonna just bring this team back. And you guys would be like, yeah, man, like, come on, you know, there's only one more year, one more try. And like,
nah, bro.
I wouldn't be as confident as I am now, man. You know, sometimes change just brings out the best out of everyone. And I'm hoping that's the case with these guys.
Yo, man, the fact that Brad Stevens couldn't just be like, listen, Washington, just sign him to the fucking contract, okay? I'll fucking trade for him. But just let me figure this Brogdon situation out. Or, I don't know, how about Brad Stevens? How about you fucking plan in advance, not the day of the fucking the deadline, you fucking make a deal. Maybe you could have done it 7 days earlier and you fucking had the deal done and brought in a doc. Yo,
no, because you know what it was, Sean? Because I remember this, like, clearly. Like, he had reportedly opted in already. And then all of a sudden, like the next day or 2 days later, Bradley Beal gets traded. And then now it's like, oh, wow, Washington's really blowing everything up now. So Brad hopped on that, like, oh, shit, like they're going to blow up that team. So, like, let's get Porzingis. That's how I look at it. I think like it just if Bradley Beal had gotten traded earlier in the offseason, then maybe we're talking Brogdon with the Clippers right now and not Marcus with the Grizzlies.
I'll just put it this way. I don't think we've ever had an extended cut this long and debated after, in case you missed it. That's how much Marcus Smart means to the Celtics, man. That's how much he means, man.
You know? I mean, it's 9 years, bro. Like, what other player can say that they played with, like, something like all-star point guards during their tenure on one team? Like,
who's the longest tenured Celtic now? Jalen Brown.
Yeah.
That's insane. Don't even make no sense.
Richest man in the NBA.
Yeah, I guess you could say Al Horford, but he left. So, you know?
Yeah. You know, when the 76ers tampered with that, I remember
really
that.
Fucked that up. Yeah.
They tampered big time on that fucking Philly. Whatever.
No, we should just have an anti-Philadelphia 76ers podcast.
Hit up Anna, bro. It'd be fun.
That would we're be just going to shit on every... Oh, hit up Anna. We're going to shit on everything Philly and just go... At least 45 minutes of just shitting on everything they've done.
Yeah, those fans are stalling Ann Orford's mentions, man. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, they stay in there. They stay
in there. We're going to get her out here soon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. I guess until next time.
Been real. Pull one out for the homie Marcus.
3-6, baby. 3-6.
We'll be back here next week, man. Bring your episode card this week. Thank you.
Peace.
When I got to Boston, you know, I was a 19-year-old kid from Dallas, Texas. And, you know, it was a culture shock. It was a social shock. It was a shock to my whole life. Never been to the East Coast or anything like that. So it was all weird to me. But I grew up, you know, I met some very wonderful people throughout my time there, my experiences. You know, while in Boston, I lost my mom. You know, I've been through some stuff, and it's all been in Boston, and Boston's my second home. So, it's been tough, you know, and they're always going to have a place in my heart. And everything I accomplished, you know, I left everything I had wearing that jersey out on that court. Although we didn't win, you know, championship in that big, the big scheme of things, I don't consider my time there a failure. You know, I helped rebuild that team at the time when I came in, and, you know, I left it better in that sense. So I'm very ecstatic with my time there, but like I said, I'm excited for the future and what it holds for me.